Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our October passive and control components themed issue. The cover feature is written by experts from Yole Development and also from Systems Plus Consulting, and they took a look at the evolving SAW and BAW filter market. Traditionally, the acoustic wave filter technology has been SAW for the RF front end for mobile devices, but with higher performance needed and higher frequencies, it's changing very rapidly, and you see all flavors of acoustic wave filters now. Temperature compensated SAW, thin film SAW, BAW, F-bar, X-bar, so there's really a lot to make sense of.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, so they take a look at those and compare the technologies and performance and give an outlook of the market, with the leaders there being Qorvo, Skyworks, Qualcomm, Broadcom, and Murata. So they're all kind of fighting it out to see who can win that RF front end market. What else do we have for technical features?
Well, we have a good lineup as usual from Soitec, an interesting article on the evolution of silicon on insulator substrate technology to support the increasing demands of wireless front ends, particularly with 5G. And I find it fascinating how much the end device performance is determined by the starting substrate material. So that's a good article. Then we have from Pasternak an interesting tutorial on the different waveguide antennas for millimeter wave bands. So that's interesting. We have a couple of articles that are approved by our editorial review board. One on the VSWR handling capability of a balanced amplifier and how that compares to the individual devices that are used in the amplifier. The answer may be different than you think. We have a low noise oscillator article using a dielectric resonator, and then wrapping it up from Anritsu, making measurements out to 110 gigahertz using coaxial interconnects. So a good lineup as always.
Yeah, so speaking of test and measurement experts, one company that hasn't traditionally been known for that is Minicircuits. But in the last few years, they have a huge line now of test and measurement components and systems. So we talked with Chi-Man Shum, vice president of the test and measurement business at Minicircuits recently, about their expansion of their portfolio and what's driving the demand there. So let's take a look at a clip from that now.
What are the primary applications driving demand for your test solutions today?
Oh, I need a whole day to talk about this, but let me just focus on a few of them. Several key markets that we have been doing very successfully on is, one of them is telecommunications, such as with all the network operator, automated testing and approval testing, and also in chipset industries for the live test or HTOL test that you all are very familiar with, mesh network radio testing, and many more. Another reason that drive people's customers' demand for our test solutions is we can offer from the simplest grade do-it-yourself level to a medium level complexity structure using our ZTM modular test solutions and a full turnkey complete rack solution such as what we have shown before. So we do have solutions that satisfies all budget levels. Now, there is a very unique advantage that's supplied by Minicircuits. We can service the entire columns of customers because all the rack mount system that we built, they use the same standard components that all our customers have been buying for 50 years, trying to build their own solutions. And now we also service them by supplying the DIY kit that will allow them to just build the same structure that we built, but maybe with a little bit less complexity to satisfy their own complexity level.
It was great to hear from Chi-Man Shum and how they're doing in the test and measurement market, even at the system level. Very interesting. Turning to the news, a huge announcement from NXP as they opened a 6-inch GaN fab in the U.S. in Arizona. So that's a huge leap into the market. They said the demand for 5G devices is driving it, and they expressed the interest to be able to control at the device level the performance so they can get the overall system and the module level could be optimized. So what did you think of the news?
Well, if anyone has any lingering doubts about GaN's role in base station, this should put it to rest. I think it's a great move for NXP. It gives them more strategic control of the technology, the manufacturing capacity, and of course their cost. And if you really look at their lineage, they go back almost 20 years as Motorola Labs. They were starting to do gallium nitride development. on silicon carbide, and their path has always been a little bit different. They've been focused on the base station market. So they argue that they've optimized their technology for linearity. They can work easily with DPD compared to their competitors, who they say have come from the aerospace and defense market, where it was all about power and efficiency. So I think it's a good move on their part, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that was an interesting approach, that they're commercial first, and it didn't come out of the A&D market.
Right.
And they also are approaching it from a module level in the market presence. You know, they don't sell the individual transistors as much as the complete matched module, which I also think is a good approach.
Yeah, that's great now with the move to massive MIMO.
And also they said that they wouldn't be open for general foundry business, but they would be open to strategic partnerships. So in other news, you and I have been doing a very interesting podcast series on innovative Internet of Things applications. And one company we talked to recently was Blumio. They're using the 60 gigahertz radar chip from Infineon to wirelessly measure blood pressure so it can be put into wearables. And then in the news, we see that Movano is partnering with GlobalFoundries to bring to market a continuously measuring glucose level in a wearable device.
Yeah.
So they have a ultra-wideband multi-antenna RF approach, and they're using GlobalFoundries' 22FDX process to bring that to market. So I tell you, if we solve these two problems into a wearable, glucose monitoring for diabetes and blood pressure monitoring for cardiovascular issues, it really will save a lot of lives.
I think we're in the era of health monitoring.
So what else was there in the news on your side?
Well, the FCC did go ahead and allocate some additional spectrum, sub 6 gigahertz in the US, so the 345 to 355 band, they're going to make that available sort of on a co-sharing basis. This is 100 megahertz right adjacent to the CBRS band. So that's a big step. And then they're also making some spectrum at 4.9 gigahertz, which is the public safety band, available for things like fixed wireless access. So I think the US, as we know, was late out of the starting gate with sub 6 gigahertz spectrum, but the FCC has done a nice job of really putting some spectrum out for 5G and other commercial applications.
Yeah, that's really going to be the sweet spot, so I'm glad we're moving toward that.
Right. And then another thing that caught my eye, there's a startup in Silicon Valley called Airvine, and they're developing a 60 gigahertz wireless LAN that's intended to be a data backbone for factories, warehouses, hospitals, that sort of thing. And they claim their advantage is you don't have to string cables, which can be a very laborious and costly process. So it'll be interesting to see how they do.
So turning to events, in the last episode I mentioned it'd be interesting to see what Mobile World Congress Barcelona does with that event.
Right.
And now we know.
Now we know.
So GSMA does the Barcelona event typically in the end of February, beginning of March, and they do a Shanghai event in June. And they're going to flop those. So the Shanghai event will take place in February because, as we know, China and mainland China is open for business for trade shows, just at a little bit reduced capacity. And then hopefully by June, Europe will be open to trade shows and they can have both events. So it will be interesting to see how that pans out. Good move on their part, I think, to try to save the physical event for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
What about on events for you?
Well, as you watch this, our EDICon online program is off and running every Tuesday in October. So if you haven't already registered, please go to edicononline.com and see what programs are available and register for the ones that are of interest to you. The event is free thanks to our sponsors, and we have like 40 different presentations, so a lot of good content. Each week is a different theme. And then it's not too early to talk about a new event that we're working on. In November, we're working on a virtual PA conference that's going to be sponsored by Cadence AWR. This will be on one Tuesday, November 17th. And it will have 6 speakers, a great lineup.
Yes, some really high-powered people.
Right. Steve Cripps of Cardiff University, Jack Bruning of Amplion, and Michael Roberg of Corvo are 3 of the 6 speakers. So there'll be more information. We'll be telling you about that event. So I think that's a wrap, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Minicircuits. Minicircuits is a longtime supplier in the RF microwave industry with virtually any kind of product that you might need. So be sure to check them out, and we appreciate their sponsorship. And for you, we hope you're doing well. Thanks for watching. Until next time.